ILGA's work at the United Nations is going to be as long as it takes for all of the countries of the world to recognize that LGBT rights are in fact human rights and they're not special rights. We're asking for our basic human rights.
I walk into meetings at studios and the receptionist always thinks I'm the messenger. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to be here.
Why is it I can hold the whole world hostage? I'm scared of going on one stupid blind date.
Because love is harder than crime.
Later for the politics, religious folks and hypocrites.
What do I have to do? For the good life, for the big time.
With you every night feels like I'm making love for the first time.
Welcome to this special edition of This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Queer activists urge international support for a UN resolution. Debs fight evil as a biracial lesbian filmmaker conquers Hollywood. And an R&B groove, an intimate voice, and retro pop from the audiophile. All that and more right now on this special edition of This Way Out. Rosanna Flamer Caldera, Sri Lankan lesbian activist and Secretary General of ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, is at the forefront of the campaign to win passage of a resolution on sexual orientation by the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. Rosanna's long career as an organizer in the environmental, feminist, and queer movements make her exceptionally qualified for the job, but the task ahead would challenge even a super Hera. The resolution on sexuality and gender, called the Brazil Resolution for the country that first introduced it 2 years ago, will be considered by the Commission again in April. Standing in vehement opposition is a formidable coalition of the Vatican and many Islamic countries. This Way Out correspondent Uma Kali Shakti caught up with Rosanna during her recent tour of New Zealand and Australia to raise awareness about the UN Commission on Human Rights and ILGA's work there.
ILGA, or the International Lesbian and Gay Association, and I will prefer to call it ILGA so that we shorten it up a little bit. ILGA is an international organization. It's a federation of over 500 LGBT organizations worldwide. It is an organization that has been fighting for the last 27 years for the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people all over the world. I'm here actually to try and again support for a resolution that was put forward at the UNCHR, that's the United Nations Commission on Human Rights, 2 years ago by Brazil. It basically put forward a resolution that stated that sexual orientation and human rights was something that needed to be addressed, needed to be safeguarded in keeping with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And unfortunately, in the last 2 years, I think the United Nations got such a shock that it didn't know what to do with it, so it kept postponing it. But regardless of whether that resolution goes forward or not, ILGA's work at the United Nations is going to be for the next at least 10 or 15 years, or as long as it takes for the United Nations and all of the countries of the world to recognize that LGBT rights are in fact human rights and they're not special rights. We're not asking for anything special. We're asking for our basic human rights. In a lot of places, a lot of countries in the world, homosexuality is still a criminal offense. There are areas in which, even though there may be laws put forward, there's a lot of victimization and marginalization of LGBT. So that struggle is continuous, and it's something ILGA takes very seriously. I'm here to try and gain support from LGBT communities to join with us on a global level to help us with our struggle all across the globe. It's not something that, you know, the Australians or the Americans or the Europeans, you know, can sit back and say, okay, we've gained so many rights and, you know, we are home free here. I think with today's political climate, it's going to be an uphill task for all of us, even in the United States, to gain prominence and gain our rights.
Well, we obviously know there's opposition to this. So who do you think ultimately is our biggest opposition?
I know at the United Nations is the Vatican. the Organization of Islamic Conferences, the Protestant Right from the United States and elsewhere. At the end of the day, I think globally, a lot of opposition actually comes from ourselves. And I say this only because of a lot of people who are so complacent. They feel, why are you rocking the boat? You know, I'm quite happy. I'm living with my girlfriend or I'm living with my boyfriend. We go to work, we do our thing, we're quite happy. But it's not about that. It's about helping everybody else who is not in the privileged a position like that. In many parts of the world, a lot of them are forced into heterosexual marriages. They're forced into other situations that they can't deal with. There's a lot of suicides, a lot of, you know, mental health problems. I think when we are fighting for rights, we fight for everybody, not just one or two people.
All these hate crimes that happen against us around the world are often, it's not taken seriously and it's dismissed, particularly mm-hmm. when it comes out that we are gay. Or, in fact, sometimes it's used as an excuse when the issue around sexuality comes up, even if it's a political murder, for example. How do you think people listening can be of assistance? What are the kind of things you're hoping to achieve on this trip?
More organisations join ILGA, strengthen the region. I think there's always strength in numbers. ILGA actually gives a big voice to all the little voices, and it is a forum where we can take our issues globally and make an impact. Number one is become proactive, join in the struggle. Just remember, who cannot express their sexuality at all and who have to stay hidden in closets all over the world, scared to be who they are. And that is a huge travesty as far as I'm concerned. Now there is a climate that is making people sit up and think about their rights, making people sit up and think, what is the government going to do next to curb our rights, to put us down, to take away that what we enjoyed all these years. So if that's happening in a progressive place, can you just imagine what's happening in a place like Bangladesh, for example, or even Pakistan, Iran, Sri Lanka, for that matter? It's time to think globally, really, because we can't be isolated anymore. And this I'd like to even tell my American friends, please don't be isolated anymore. Don't be so insular, because you guys have gone a long way with your rights movements and you have achieved so much that you take it for granted. Whereas, say, for example, one of the issues maybe that is important is gay marriage, whereas one of the important issues in a place like Sri Lanka, where I come from, is just trying to get decriminalized. So there's a huge disparity in the levels of which activism has gone forward. Say the activism in Sri Lanka only started in the mid-90s, whereas you guys may have started a long, long time ago. So people are just too scared to come out sometimes to even say what it is. In Sri Lanka, we only have two activists that are out. A gentleman by the name of Sherman DeRose, who's from Companions on a Journey. They were the first to start a gay organization in Sri Lanka. And there's myself, a very out lesbian. Two people can't do it. Mm. It has to be a lot of people all of the time.
Pre-colonization, pre-Christianity, there were not the same understandings of sex, sexuality and gender. And life was very different. So we too are involved in the struggle in casting off the chains that are still there and still bind us. We try and find ways of living our life on our terms. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Rosanna for coming in and speaking, and we wish her all the best for her trip.
Well, thank you very much, Uma, and thank you very much for having me on this show.
That was Rosanna Flamer Caldera, Secretary General of the International Lesbian and Gay Association, speaking with This Way Out correspondent Uma Kali Shakti in Sydney, Australia, about the UN Commission on Human Rights Resolution on Sexuality and Gender. For more information, check out ILGA's website at www.ilga.org.
Hi, this is Carleen.
And I'm Gareth.
And we're from JFLAG,
Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, Homosexuals and Gays.
And you're listening to This Way Out,
the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
Are you signed up for our monthly emailed This Way Out updates? They briefly preview upcoming programming and give you other behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio program. We also send out weekly email messages about the specific content of each upcoming show. To receive one or both of these messages, all you need to do is email tworadio@aol.com. And be assured that we don't share, sell, or otherwise provide your email address or anything else about you to anyone, and we never will. Again, to receive the monthly This Way Out update and or our weekly program promo message, ask for them by name when you email tworadio@aol.com. As an 11-minute adolescent, Angela Robinson's Debs premiered at the 2003 Sundance Film Festival and wowed gay and lesbian film festivals around the world. The grown-up 90-minute comedy that made its bow at Sundance last year is now hitting theaters around the U.S. This Way Out's Steve Pride found the biracial lesbian filmmaker to easily be as engaging as her film.
My goal as a filmmaker is to make a movie that's so entertaining that you actually forget that the characters are gay or straight, and you just get swept away in the adventure.
Voted one of the 25 new faces of indie film by Filmmaker Magazine, and among the 100 people to watch by Interview Magazine, writer-director Angela Robinson is changing the gender, sexual, and racial perceptions of Hollywood. And as a bonus, she has a smile that lights up a room.
My name's Angela Robinson, and I am the writer and director and editor, actually, of Debs. The premise of Debs is that there's a secret test hidden in the SAT, and if you score particularly well on this test, then you're recruited by the government into a top-secret agency for girls. And in this particular adventure, one of the Debs falls in love with the Debs' arch-nemesis, Lucy Diamond.
You can do this.
Why is it I can hold a whole world hostage? I'm scared of going on one stupid blind date.
Because love is harder than crime. Okay, now knock them dead. But not really.
And when they meet, sparks fly, and instead of killing each other, Lucy asks her out. So it starts our kind of star-crossed lovers on their path, where Amy, the top member of the Debs, has a secret affair with Lucy, and they pretend that she's kidnapped, and it's what happens in their relationship when they are found out.
What's that movie with Jody and the little dog falls in the well with the lotion?
Silence of the Lamb.
You're the Lamb.
What?
The idea of Debs actually originated a couple years ago. There was this girl who I met in film school at NYU, and she, in our first week there, told me this story about how she'd been recruited by the CIA because of a secret test in the SAT, and that they'd been tracking her ever since. And I totally believed her. I was like, wow, I didn't know they did that. And she totally had me going for like weeks until I realized she was just pulling my leg. And it had always stuck with me that that would be a very funny premise for a movie.
The journey of the feature film Debs to the big screen began in 2002 when Angela got the money to make a short film called Debs.
I heard about this grant. There's an organization called Power Up, run by Stacey Cotico, and their mission is to give grants to women filmmakers primarily and make lesbian movies primarily, I say, because sometimes it verges. And so they had a contest, basically, where they were going to make three shorts. And so I devised a story about, it was a mock WB show, actually, in 10 minutes, kind of making fun of Buffy or Charmed or the kind of WB teen shows. But this was called Debs. And it started, like, previously on Debs and was serialized. And in the short film, Amy and Lucy are having the affair, and Debs think that Amy's been kidnapped, and so they race to save her while she's basically having sex with Lucy. And so I kind of created this premise and submitted the short and got the financing. So we had 4 days to shoot the short and $20,000 to make it. And that was the original genesis of the short film. And then the short went to Sundance and got picked up as a feature.
It's hard for any woman to break into what's traditionally been a boys' club. So the number of working lesbian directors in Hollywood is in the low double digits. But what sets them apart from their straight male peers is that in a dog-eat-dog business, these successful gay women remain remarkably supportive of each other.
I know a lot of lesbian women who are directors, and I really do think lesbians help each other out. I don't know if it more so than other women or people for that matter, but I feel a kinship and I'm not sure why that is, but I know that, I mean, even the fact that there was this organization, Power Up, that was out there, like, there's a lot of organizations that kind of support the general notion of women in film, but there's kind of luncheons or discussions, but that doesn't ultimately really help you. You need money to make movies so that you can get a shot of people seeing your work. And Power Up was so fantastic when they came along because it was just an organization geared to making movies very tangibly to increase lesbian representation. And that was remarkable because as a filmmaker, you're just out there and you can have all sorts of stories you want to tell, but if you don't get the money or the resources to get them out there, then, you know, you're totally cut off at the knees. So I do think there's an incredible support system and you kind of meet people throughout. And I do think there's some sort of bonding and generosity of spirit that really is there in the community.
Angela Robinson is a biracial woman. She is a lesbian. Her favorite outfit is old tennis shoes, tan chinos, a big t-shirt, and her favorite golf hat. She doesn't fit the traditional stereotype of a big Hollywood director. But Angela doesn't see that as an obstacle.
My folks really kind of raised me with this notion that was very fundamental, that there's no barriers for you, that there isn't anything that you can't do in your life, be it race or be it that you're a woman, or they didn't know I was gay at the time. So, and that really has served me so far. And primarily you're working like on crews with white straight men who are much older than you, or I walk into meetings at studios and the receptionist always thinks I'm the messenger. They always send me. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to be here. And I have an appointment and I'm not crashing the building. And I walk in and I feel like there's this kind of static. Like the first time that people see me, and I'm not sure what they're expecting, but I know it's not me, basically. And then there's this little like bzzz. Then you just kind of approach them very straightforwardly. You sit down and you start talking intelligently about their project. Then people just accept you, and then they just move on. And I feel like it just comes down to the work. And if the work is good and what you're saying is interesting, and if you're treating people with respect and you're not going to screw it up and lose them all their money, knock on wood, then people kind of get over all the other things really fast, and they just kind of go, okay, good, you're just a person.
Besides being the writer, director, and editor of Debs, Angela Robinson has also written for the Showtime series The L Word, and recently completed production on a $60 million remake of Herbie the Love Bug for Disney. For links to further information on Debs, Angela Robinson, or Power Up, point your internet browser to prideonscreen.com. I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
I think I'm on another world with you.
I'm Patricia Nell Warren, author of The Frontrunner and its sequel, published by my own publishing imprint, Wildcat Press, and you're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
One artist blends R&B and hip-hop, one mixes folk and pop, and one goes retro in this month's offering from The Audiophile.
Later for the president, later for society, and the Constitution, baby, won't you marry me? Later for the politics, religious folks and hypocrites, loving you is all I need, baby, won't you marry me?
Now I'll be damned if I have to hesitate on saying I do, because the public won't acknowledge my love for you. They ain't slanging no checks from under this roof right here. You don't hear me though. I promise you to do the best I can. I'm on both knees asking you to be your man. I'm talking wedding bands, diamond rings and things that bling. A ceremony held that it won't take a long way. Because I know.
Minneapolis artist Tori Fix blends R&B, hip-hop, and gay politics on his latest album. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. The CD is called Marry Me. And we're using the edited for radio version of the title track from this very outspoken album.
Basically, this CD is more,
It's more R&B based. It's a lot of vocals and harmonies. It does mix in hip-hop as well. It's very smooth, actually. That's kind of what I've been told so far. My musical style really, overall, it crosses so many genres, but it's a CD to groove to.
Now I'm quick to call a situation right. It seems that you need a lover in your life, and I'm here to tell you that I'm as qualified, and a lifetime with me is more than bona fide. Now I ain't trying to brag, but I knows what I possess. Little daddy is tight, while most others is a mess. Do your life with love, not your head with stress. Am I the best of the best? The answer is hell yes. Oh, confident.
Find out more about Torrey Fix and his album Marry Me at www.torifix.com. That's www.torifix.com.
From New York City, Ron Morris brings us his debut album called Speak True.
His music is a mix of folk and pop, and his very intimate messages are beautifully delivered by his unique voice and well-crafted songwriting.
They don't quite get you when you step up and they talk on giving a wave of the hand. They don't quite play you right when it's high stakes, big bucks, all supply and demand. Buy you out, sell you short on this dream of the promised land. What do I have to do for the good life, for the big time? What do I have to give to keep up, to play nice, speak true? What do I have to do?
I chose the title Speak True for the CD because when I'm singing these songs, the goal is to sing them from a very honest place, open myself up, be truthful, and from a personal perspective, living my life in an honest way and really trying to integrate that into the way I function in a day-to-day. And so that phrase seemed to capture everything of the moment that is this CD.
Let's keep this between us. Nobody else needs to know. I don't want a three-ring circus where we are the center of the show. Who knows? Who knows?
You can learn more about the album Speak True by Ron Morris at www.ronmorrismusic.com.
For a dash of pop filled with retro grooves from the 70s, check out the CD by Mark Mercer called Nothing Like It.
With you every day feels like the very best day of my life. Can't get better. With you every night feels like I'm making love for the first time. For the very first time.
This is Mark's debut album. And on it, he found a way to include an important political statement in a very catchy song.
I chose to make my most political track on the record, which is Chapel of Love, and it addresses gay weddings, a dance track, because it's so few dance tracks actually have intelligent and important lyrical content. And I thought it would be nice to kind of have a very political, in-your-face statement kind of masked and disguised as a very upbeat and fluffy song.
Could ever be a crime. You can call
Find out more about Mark Mercer and his CD, Nothing Like It, at www.markmercermusic.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening.
Same as your hair. You can read your Bible any way you want. But at the end of the day, this life's about love. Maybe I've been lucky, found love to set me free. So how can your religion be making my decisions for me? All I want is what you want. Now how can that go wrong? It's time to celebrate.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. Uma Kaori Shakti, Steve Pride, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. The Only Ones performed some of the music from Debs, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. You can also email tworadio@aol.com to ask for our monthly This Way Out updates and or to receive our weekly program promo messages. That's tworadio@aol.com. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please find out how you can help keep us on the air and get our tangible thanks by visiting our website, thiswayout.org. And to be sure you don't miss a week of This Way Out, you can subscribe to audio CDs of our program. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to stay tuned.